stood at the foot of some mountains, convinced they were too hard to climb. Descended to dark, lonely valleys, free of the shadows I'd find. I've had those who would walk the while with me, when often they've let me alone. When it seemed like some storm clouds above me would follow me all the way home.
But from the hill where I'm standing today, I see two companions on my journey of faith. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder, I find the goodness and mercy that's followed me all of my life.
I have had burdens to carry, God's mercy divided the load. So many moments unnoticed, His goodness was smoothing the load. Though for now heaven's still just a promise, and the end is not clearly in view, I cling to His blessed assurance that I'll see Him when this life is through.
But from the hill where I'm standing today, I see two companions on my journey of faith. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder, I find the goodness and mercy that followed me all of my life. And as I grow older, looking over my shoulder,
I find the goodness and mercy that followed me all of my life.
Man, thank you, ladies. I really enjoyed that. Thank the Lord for goodness and mercy. The man we're going to be talking about a little bit tonight wrote that goodness and mercy, he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I want to talk to you about David just for a little bit. There's so much to say about David. I haven't counted them, but someone has said that he's mentioned 600 times in the Old Testament. If you want to count to see if that's so, let me know. But someone had said 600 references to David in the Old Testament, 60 in the New. I do know that he's mentioned in the first book of the New Testament, and also he's mentioned in the last book of the Bible, the New Testament, in Matthew and Revelation, David is mentioned. Certainly, many are the adventures of David and the turns of his life. I think that many, many aspects of David's life that we've grew to love over the years as a Christian, many of us can certainly relate to some of his life experiences. And I hope tonight that I could be an encouragement to those of you that are here that are 30 years of age and younger. And I want to be encouragement to all of you, but I'm going to do something that I rarely do, and that is I'm going to speak specifically for a few moments to a group of people that are 30 years of age and younger. So if you're 30 years of age and younger, I want you to stand, and I'm watching you. got to watch some of these ladies. Amen. They'll try to sneak at 30 in on you every time. All right, I want you to look around you. Here is a group of people that are 30 years of age and younger. Some of them are so short you can't see them, but they're here. Amen. And they count too. I spoke with a couple of people just in the last week that said that their church, I went to visit a family last Monday night, and there's a little church down the road from them. They said, there's a handful of people that said, oh, all elderly people, and the church is dying off. And I said, well, you know, isn't that a sad? That's a shame. That's sad. That's sad. Church is dying off. I think this is a good group of 30 years and below on a Sunday night. I commend you for being here, and I thank God for you. I do. You can be seated. Parents that brought these young people, thank you. You've done the right thing. You've got them at the right place on a Sunday night, I can tell you that. Amen. And you just keep them in the house of God, and there's no telling what God can do for their life and in their life. Now, this man David, there's so much. When you begin to study a character, Pastor David did a kind of a character study this morning on a man named Barnabas. And granted, there's not as much in the Bible about Barnabas as there is David, but just that little bit, it's hard to really say, okay, I'm going to leave this in and take this out. There's just things that you have to make decisions, and obviously, I'm going to have to leave some things out. But I want to give you three things about David, and I'm going to highlight one of them. So I want you to write this down, okay? As I study David's life, I have broken it down into three tiers. And I want you to try to do this in your mind. And we may look at the second two tiers the next week. We'll see how the Lord leads. The first tier is the one we're going to spend some time in, but I'll touch that and we'll come back to it. It's what I call the waiting years. David, when he's introduced to us as a young man, well, we're really not sure how young of a man, but he's probably in his young teens when he's introduced to us in the Scripture. The house of Jesse. He's a shepherd boy. He's a keeper of the sheep. He's the youngest of a good-sized family, of a house that is dedicated to the country. They're patriots, they're warriors, they're fighters, they're survivors. But obviously from what King Saul said when David went out there and defeated Goliath, he said, whose son is this? They come from a long line of people who knew what it was to trust God. And God done something for David early in his life. Now, young people, I want you to get this. Early in his life, David was in tune with God. And just because I've titled this The Waiting Years doesn't mean David was waiting. What I mean by that is David, in his waiting years, was preparing for what God had for him. Now, to be waiting doesn't mean that you're just doing nothing. You're waiting on the next move from God when God's going to put you in a position to elevate you to the next level of service He has for you. God wants to use your life. And as we will see in young David's life, here was a young man that was going about his business. He was just going about his life as a young shepherd boy. He was keeping the sheep on the backside of a hill. He was protecting them from lions and bears, as we read in the Scripture in chapter 17. He was writing psalms, and he was just fellowshipping with God. And God reached down. The God of heaven reached down now and took this little country boy, this little shepherd, and done something phenomenal in his life. Now that ought to encourage you, because God will do that for you too. God wants to do that for you. God wants to use your life. You say, what am I supposed to do? You just go along with your life and you seek God, and God will guide you every step of the way. You don't have to take not one turn in life without God directing that turn if you will wait upon the Lord. Wait on Him. Wait on the Lord. Let Him prepare you for what He has for you. So we're going to come back to the waiting years. The second tier that we'll talk about, the Lord willing, next week and maybe the week after, we'll see how the Lord leads, is the working years. When David was 30 years of age, he began to rule in Israel. Now for 7.5 years, he was the king of Judah and in Hebron. And then for 33 years, he was the king of all of Israel.
The Bible says in 2 Samuel that he ruled Israel for 40 years. And so when David was 30, he became king of all of Israel. My, king of this nation, God's chosen nation. But he had a lot of work to do. He followed a botched leadership. We're kind of seeing what that's like in our country. He followed a botched leadership. And when David came to office, as you will read in the scriptures, you'll find that there was a lot of disarray. There was civil war breaking out everywhere. And even those of Saul's followers were still fighting for the throne. And they were fighting the back and forth in Israel. And there was a lot of disarray. It was at an all-time spiritual low. He had his work cut out for him. Now, brethren, when God calls you and God calls me to serve him, God has something for us to do. And in many instances, that work can look so overwhelming, so overwhelming. We begin to look at all the world around us and we think, my goodness, the world. But if we just narrow it down to America, look at the work that there is to do. And young people, don't you get dismayed now. Don't you get dismayed. You remember something. If you will just do what God has called you to do on the front that God has put you, you can make a difference in some people's lives. Sometimes we look at the big picture and it's overwhelming. I mean, it's just overwhelming. But don't you forget now, as we heard this morning, the God that called you and the God that's going to equip you is the God that holds the worlds in his hand. That's that God. And so the work that God calls us to is a important work. It's a work that sometimes can be overwhelming, but God doesn't leave us to the work ourselves. God wants us to work in his name. And David certainly was a great example of that. He knew that if the work was going to get done, if the battle was going to be won, it was going to have to be the Lord that won the battle. I'm going to tell you, if the work's going to get done, young people, middle-aged people, elderly people, if the work's going to get done, God's going to have to do it, isn't he? I'm going to tell you, brethren, we need to depend on God more today than we ever have. And so there was those waiting years. And in those waiting years, as we shall see, David was preparing himself. And when he got to that place that God elevated him to, that God had for him, he was ready to go to work. He was ready to do what God called him to do. Why? He didn't waste those early years of his life. As we shall see, he was building character. He was building conduct. He was building courage in his life so that when he got in these situations of life, he was ready to face them, knowing that God was going to be his helper and God was going to win the battles and that God was going to give the victory. He went to work. Now, those working years are kind of divided into two categories. There were the triumphant years of David's life, all the way up to 2 Samuel chapter number 10. But you know the way 2 Samuel chapter 11 begins. It begins that it was time for the kings to go to war. But David stayed yet in Jerusalem. He tarried and stayed behind. And oh my. There were the years of tragedy in those working years too. And we may face those. And then the final phase that we'll look at, the Lord willing, will be the waning years. Those final years of David's life. So here's three phases, three tiers that you can look at this great man of God's life. The waiting years. The working years. The waiting years will carry us up through, well, the end of 1 Samuel. And then you have those working years. Those working years. And then you have those waning years that take us right on down to 1 Kings chapter 2, where David passes off the scene and goes on to be with his father. Well, what about those waiting years? What are you doing, young people? You say, well, I'm just waiting on a coconut to fall out of a tree and hit me in the head, and hopefully an idea will come to mind. I'll know what to do with my life. Don't you live your life that way. God has a specific plan for you. Now listen to me tonight. God has a specific plan for your life. Are you willing to follow it? The question is not, does God have something special for me? The question is, are you willing to follow God with your life? Let's see what this young man did. Here, as Brother Carl read in your hearing, was Samuel, the man of God, telling Saul, God's going to God's through with you. You didn't obey God's command. You're going to do it God's way, or God's not going to use you, and you were just intent on doing it your way. And so he said, God sought him a man after his own heart. Now, why was David called a man after God's own heart? Well, I think we'll see when we finish our study tonight. And I pray that when we finish our study, that many young people, if not middle-aged and elderly people, if we would not recommit ourselves and say, you know, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to be that servant. I want to be that person who has a heart for the things of God. I want my heartbeat to coincide with God's heartbeat. I want God's heart to beat in me. And I want to march to that tune, and I want to do His will. Let's see what the Scripture says. Well, we get it, first of all, in chapter number 16 of 1 Samuel. Would you turn there? You're going to have to turn to some Scripture, because there's no way that I'm going to be able to do an expositional study on David that's going to be really beneficial to you in one passage. So we're going to have to turn to some Scripture, okay? 1 Samuel 16, we're introduced to our man, David. In 1 Samuel 16 and verse number 13, the Bible, I'll give you a little backdrop here. God has told his man Samuel. He said, Samuel, he said, I want you to go down to the house of Jesse. He said, there's a young man in that house that I want you to anoint. He's going to be the next king. He's going to be the king of Israel. In verse number 13 of chapter number 16 of 1 Samuel, we have that occasion where it says, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. So here's God saying, I choose you. I choose you. You're my man. I wonder if God has ever done that in your life. You know, I remember when God did that for me. I didn't understand all that was going on. Listen, when I got saved, shortly thereafter, God called me to preach. And when I say shortly thereafter, I mean like within days. And I had no idea. I didn't know anything about preaching. I didn't even know anything about being a Christian. I'd just gotten saved. I wasn't brought up in church. And I had all of these thoughts going through my mind. I mean, you talking about somebody that was overwhelmed. I had fear. I had so many emotions in my life. And I don't know that I might not be talking to a young person here that comes to church and puts on that front and thinks I got it. You know, I want everybody to think that I've got it together. But when you get at home, you might cry at night and think, God, you're doing something in my life. God, what are you doing? God, what do you want from me? God, I want to serve you, but I need to see clearly. I need to know what you want from me. I need to know what you want me to do. God, I'll do it if you'll just show me. If you'll make it clear to me, I'll serve you with my life. You may be there tonight. There may be a young person in this building tonight that wants to serve God. See, the world and even some church folks will look on young people and say, young people don't want to serve God. See, I don't believe that. I believe there's a lot of young people that do want to serve God. And I believe there are a lot of young people that are serving God. And I believe there's more young people that would serve God. They just need a little direction. They just need, again, what we heard this morning, a little encouragement. And I want to be all that encouragement. I want to be everything I can be an example to the young people. And I believe many people here tonight, you want to be the same. We want to be an example to these young people to show them it's worth serving God with your life. Actually, I put the challenge out, and I'll do it again tonight. There's nothing greater that you can do with your life than to serve Jesus Christ with it. I mean it, brethren. There's nothing greater. We heard this man and this woman have served God with their life for many, many years. And we could go around this congregation of people, of folks who have served God with their life double the time of your age, some triple the time of your age, and they could stand and testify to a man, to a woman. It's worth it, young people, to serve Jesus with your life. It's worth it to serve Jesus Christ with your life. There's nothing greater you can do. Well, here was a young man that God anointed. And you would think, well, God's called him. I mean, here he was now. Listen, here he was on the backside of the mountain, keeping the sheep, writing the hymns, writing the psalms. Here he was, protecting those sheep. Just a little insignificant guy. Nobody knew much about him, but God knew where he was. And God had a work for him, and God said, that little man right there, that young man right there is a man after my own heart, and I want him. I'm going to choose him. And he sent the man of God down to the house of Jesse and anointed that young man. Now, I don't know that David really knew what was going on right here. Young man in his teens. And he probably thought, what is going on? You know, I can tell you right now, the house of Jesse didn't know what was going on. They thought, you've got the wrong man. But God told Samuel. Samuel was beginning to wonder if I've got the right man. But God said, no, you've got the right man. You've got the right man. That's my man right there. Now, sometimes when I see these little fellas running around church, I've been doing this a little while, okay? And these little fellas running around church that's knocking heads, you know, that you almost stumble over when you're trying to leave the church. And you go out there and they got a handful of rocks. You think they're getting ready to throw them at your car and you're getting ready to take your belt off. You know them young man I'm talking about? Those are some of the young men. You watch it now. Some of them God's going to use to preach the word. You say, those young men? Absolutely those young men. Some of you young men. You say, could God use me? Could God use me in missions? Could God use me to preach? Could God use me as a Sunday school teacher? You better believe God can use you. Not only can God use you, God will use you. What about these years? You've got to prepare. Watch what David does. The first thing I want you to notice about David is that after he was anointed, God was going to get him ready. And God said, okay, now, David, I'm not just going to call you and then thrust you right in. He said, got to send you to school a little bit. Got some things I want you to learn. Let's look at some things you learned. So we fast forward a little bit. Look, if you would, in verse number 17 of chapter 16. So Samuel anoints him, all right? And so here's David's break. Right? Here's his opportunity. The Bible says in verse 17 of chapter 16 that Saul said unto his servants, provide me now a man that can play well and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning in playing and a mighty valiant man, a man of war, a prudent, he's prudent in matters and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Amen. Now, see, Saul didn't know about it. The leadership didn't know about it. But there was somebody that God made sure knew about him. All right? Now, what's this telling us? This is telling us that David done some things in secret that God was getting ready to put on display in public. Now, listen to me, young folks. Your private life is really important. All of our private lives are really important. Now, what am I saying to you? I'm saying that our private lives really tell us what kind of character we have. See, we can all act a certain way in public. Amen. We can all, listen, we know what to say, we know how to act, we know what to wear, we know all these things in public. But in private, now, when no one's looking, when no one knows, God knows. And David had been doing some things in secret that God was getting ready to put on display. David had been doing some things in private that God was getting ready to put public. And so while you're waiting in these early years of your life, don't think they don't count. Don't think that no one's looking. God's watching. God notices. God sees what you do, why you do it. Now, he does all of us. But in these early developmental years, be cautious. Don't disqualify yourself. Don't make yourself null. Don't take yourself out of a position for God to use you before you even get started good by throwing away your character. Don't do that. Okay? So what happened here? The king, the man, said, I'm looking for me a man that can do thus and thus. And somebody said, I know just who you're looking for. Now, you think God had anything to do with that? Can I tell you, God had everything to do with that. And God's going to do it in your life too, young folks. Now he is. You just stay true to God. Stay in the Word. Honor God. Honor your parents. Worship the Lord. Keep yourself pure. And God's got something for you. Now you say, well, preacher, I've already messed up. Well, as you heard this morning, that doesn't mean God won't use you. That doesn't mean God won't use you. Clean it up. Confess it. Do what you need to do. If you've wronged somebody, make it right. And then say, God, here I am. Amen. Use me. Use me. Well, David was ready to be used. And God put him right there in Saul's palace. Okay? Now, why did he do that? Because God's getting ready to take him to yet another level. God was teaching him some character. You want to talk about character? Watch this young man. Let's see if you got some character. Look what the Bible says. Would you follow me just for a moment in chapter 16? Look at verse number 11. The latter part of verse number 11 says, behold, he keepeth the sheep. It's David. Behold, he keepeth the sheep. Look, if you would, in verse number 19, the latter part of verse 19 of chapter 16, where the Bible says, which is with the sheep. Then go over to chapter number 17 and verse number 15. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep. Chapter 17, verse number 20. And David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. Now, God didn't call him to do something else, but he realized that he had a form of responsibility that he was still going to be held accountable for. And so he said, I don't want to shirk that responsibility because that's part of my character. And it is, brethren. It is. Finish the job. I tell you, when I was here yesterday and Friday, I watched these men. I thought, praise God, I love working with people like this. See, I was taught the job's not finished until the last bit of work's done, the cleanup's done, and the final tool is put in place. Then the job's finished. Amen. Young people, if you can learn a good work ethic, if you can learn what it is to follow instructions, to listen to your instructions, and then to carry out your instructions, you will be amazed at the opportunities that God will open up for you. You'll be amazed. I told my sons, I still tell them, you'll never lack for a job. He said, well, preacher, what do you mean by that? Are they very skilled? Not very. And they don't mind me saying that. They don't possess a great skill, but I tell you something they do possess. Manners. Work ethic. Be on time. I taught them, you go to work, you on time. Amen. When you're there, do your job. When your break's over, go back to work. Don't stay there 5 minutes after the break. The break's over, go back to work. Amen. Work up to the time that it's time to get off. If you get off at 5 o'clock, don't work to 4:55 and loaf to 5. Work to 5. Amen. Go to work every day. Don't lie. Be honest. Have some integrity. Show some manners. Say yes, sir. No, ma'am. Thank you. And you'll never lack a job in this society in which we live in. It may not be the job you want. And you may not make six-digit figures. But somebody's going to hire you. Because we live in a generation of people who doesn't understand anything that I just said. And those of us who got a little age on us who have worked in the workforce, you watch them. Shake your head with me. They know. They say, yeah, preacher, we know. We're experiencing that right now. So teach your young folks, hey, this young man had it. He had some character in his life. I'm going to tell you what people like this do. They rise to the top. You say, well, people make fun of me. That's okay. You'll be their foreman one day. Don't you worry about that. They laugh at me, preacher, for wanting to do my job. They want me to loaf. They want me to curse. They want me to take 5 or 6 smoking breaks. They want me to talk down the company. They want me to murmur. They want me to complain. That's all right. Listen to me. One day, you do what you know is right as a Christian, as a child of God. You have some integrity. You have some character about you. And one day, you will be that crowd's supervisor. Now listen to me. Work. Work ethic. You think David had a work ethic? You better believe he did. He had a work ethic. He had some character about him. Young folks, nothing can replace character. Oh, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, now listen to me. You can buy brains, but you can't buy character. Boy, he's right. You can borrow some brains. You can borrow some knowledge. Now, you can't borrow character. That's who you are. Brains is what you know. But character is who you are. And who you are will determine where you go in life. Now, you remember that now. You remember that. Character. Then in chapter 17, these always go together. Courage. In chapter 17, Jesse had sent David, and you know this story. It's one of the most familiar accounts in all the scripture. There's a big old bully giant out there named Goliath who was calling out, really Saul. I mean, that's really who was calling out, but he was calling out the armies of Israel. And he was saying, send a man and let's do this one-on-one and get this over. There's no use in having all this bloodshed. There's no use in this army fighting this army and us having a lot of dead here today. I'm going to stand out here and you send me one man and we're going to battle. And whoever wins is going to be the master over the other. And Israel's standing there saying, that's easy for you to say. You're about 9'9" and 600 pounds. Amen. And he's back there. They're back on the in the bunker, you know, just quaking like a bunch of cowards. You say, well, preacher, are you a coward? I'm not a coward. I might lose a lot of fights, but I'm not a coward. Amen. Don't you be a coward. You say you got to be able to fight good, not to be a coward. No, you just got to be able to stand up for what you believe in. Amen. See, David stood up for what he believed in. Now, young people, listen to me. You're getting ready to go back to school, and there's a lot of people down there at the school where you go, and it may even be a Christian school. Now, hear me now. They don't believe in the God you believe in. They're going to mock him. They're going to mock you if you talk about him. Matter of fact, they'll try to shut your mouth if you mention the name of Jesus. And if you talk about praying, or you read your Bible, or you mention a Bible verse, they're going to mock you. Are you a coward? Are you going to cow down to that? Are you going to stand up and say, hey, that's my God, and I'm not ashamed of him. Jesus is my Savior, and I'm not ashamed of him. You say, well, preacher, if I do that, nobody will like me. You more concerned about people liking you or God being pleased with you? Now, God's going to love you no matter what, but I said, are you more concerned about people liking you or God being pleased with you? You said, I'll take them all on, I'll whip them all. That doesn't mean you're not a coward. You want to prove to me you're not a coward? Stand up. Stand up for Jesus. Stand up for Jesus. You say, preacher, why don't our soul win the way all the soul win? Well, probably because you're a coward. Why don't we tell people the things we ought to tell them about Jesus, about sin, about hell, about eternity? Why, preacher? It may be because we've turned coward. And we let this world system shake us and mold us and scare us and threaten us. Now, young people don't do that. I'm not saying go to school and back people in the corner and shove the Bible down their throat, but I am saying don't you let them now, don't you let them mock you for serving Jesus. Be glad you're a Christian. Amen. Are you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
This means yes.
Amen.
Young people, old people, middle-aged people, if you're in the sound of my voice, are you glad you're a Christian?
Amen.
Amen. You say, I don't want to do that. Well, junk your pride and do that. Let me know you're glad you're a Christian. Amen. If you're glad you're a Christian, don't you let this world, who is full of antichrist, they hate God, they hate the church, they hate Christians. We shouldn't be surprised. Jesus said they would. He said they hated me, they're going to hate you. That doesn't mean we hate them. But what it does mean is that we're not going to allow that to intimidate us and shut us up from living the Christian life and speaking in the name of Jesus. So I can't say Jesus, they might send me home. Well, they just have to send me home. You say, now, preacher, don't start no trouble for me now. Well, you're a Christian. Live it. Be a Christian. What did David do? Well, let's see. If you'll notice in chapter number 17 and verse number 28, the Bible says that even one of his, when David went down and he took some bread, and he took some things, some supplies to his brothers there. In chapter number 17 and verse number 28, one of his brothers said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. Even those who you would think will support you sometimes won't support you. And so don't let that stop you. What did David say? I like what he said. Look at verse number 29. David said, what have I done now? What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Young people, I asked you the same question. Is there not a cause? There's people dying and going to hell. This is real here now. This is not just some kind of hoopla and emotional stir up that we have about an hour and a half or 2 hours every Sunday night and Sunday morning and Wednesday night. This is real. The Christian life is real. People have a soul, and they're going to go out into eternity one day. And what they've done with Jesus is going to make that decision. So we have to understand that character builds courage. You think David had courage? Look at what the Bible says over here. David said to Saul in verse number 34 of chapter 17, David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him. You think David was a coward? I don't think so. But now, David wasn't just a coward when it came to his private life. See, David had already made his mind up. I'm going to do what it takes to get the job done. Amen. So when no one was looking, and that bear or that lion came to try to get one of the flock, he said, I went out after him, and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And he said, thy servant slew both, in verse 36 of chapter 17, the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he shall deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. If that don't challenge you and fire you up, you might ought to check and see if you're alive. That's real, amen? This really happened, brethren. A young man went out there, and there was a war going on. He went out into a war zone. A young lad. But because of what he had been doing in his private life, he had a confidence. But now it wasn't in his ability. Whose ability was it? Look in chapter 17 just for a moment. Look, if you would, in verse number 45. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Well, David had a confidence in what God could do, didn't he? At a young age, you need to have a confidence in what God can do in your life. Do you? Have you put God to test? Have you? Have you put God to the test? Sometimes it do us parents good. You say, preacher, I don't want my children to know that we're having a hard time. They need to know you're having a hard time. They need to know. They need to know you're praying. If God don't answer it, you're going to do without. They need to know that. Oh, I don't want to put that on the children. Why not? They're going to face it one day. Amen. Our young people need to know that money doesn't grow on trees. And that problems don't work themselves out and just get solved. If God doesn't get involved in life, there's a lot of hardship. A lot of heartache. And sometimes God will bring us down to nothing to show us, you're going to trust me? You going to trust me? Who you think David was trusting when he went up there and looked at that big 9-foot giant? You believe that really happened? It really happened, brethren. It really happened. You say, well, I believe he had to be scared. Well, I don't know. Look at verse 51. It didn't look scared to me. Verse 51 says, therefore David ran. He ran toward him. He said, let's get this going. Amen. Let's get this done. I'm ready to show you that you're no match, not for me, but for my God. I'm ready to show you, big boy. Amen. You're going down today. Amen. He said, you're not going to talk about my God that way. You're going down. This is not about me and you. This is about you cursing my God and defying God's people, mocking God's people. I'm not going to allow that to happen. Young people, you ought not allow it to happen. When are you going to stand up against somebody and say, now, wait a minute. That's my God you're cursing. That's my parents you're mocking. That's my friend that you're making fun of. We're Christians, right? Or are we going to cower down and say, well, I better not say nothing, you know. They might start mocking and making fun of me. I'm not saying to be abrasive, but I'm saying this. Don't let people mock your Christianity. Don't let people curse your God and cause you not to speak up for Jesus Christ. You let them know, I'm a Christian and I'm not ashamed of it. Amen. They ask you, are you one of them old Christians? Yes, I am. Praise God. Amen. 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 Nothing like it. I'm a Christian. I'm saved by the grace of God. Nothing good did I bring. Simply to his cross did I cling. And I'm a Christian by the grace of God. Yes, I am. You got it right. You hit the nail on the head right there. I am a Christian. David had some courage about him. He had some courage. He had some character. This is in the beginning years of his life. He was young. He built some things. But would to God that if one young person could leave here. Now some of our young people, you've already been inoculated. And I'm praying for you. Now you listen to me. I'm praying for you. You've been inoculated. You're just accustomed. You're used to Christianity. You need to have a thankful heart. You need to understand what it is. God doesn't owe you anything. If you are saved, you're saved because of the grace of God. And if you're ever going to do anything for Jesus, it's going to be because God chooses to use your life. And I pray that God would stir your heart. You wouldn't be able to sleep at night until you found out what God's purpose for your life is. You'll never be happy till you find it. You'll never be happy. Let me give you a couple more things and then we'll close tonight. So we have what? Character. Young people, character means something. Despite what this world that's gone crazy, I mean it's gone crazy, character still means something. Integrity, it means something. And then there's courage. There's a right kind of courage. I'm not talking about playing chicken on 29 with two cars coming head to head. I'm not talking, that's not courage, that's foolishness. That's not what I talk to you about tonight. I talk to you about a spiritual courage that is willing to stand up and bear the reproach for Jesus Christ. Someone that's not ashamed to be a Christian. That's not ashamed that people know I go to church with my parents. I honor my father and mother. The Bible teaches chastity and purity, and I'm going to stay pure until I marry. I don't think it's cool to disobey my parents. I don't think it's cool to lay out of church. I don't think it's cool to smoke cigarettes behind the bleachers or smoke pot or drink liquor. I don't think that's cool. I think it's sin. And I want to live my life for Jesus. See, that's what God's looking for, some courage to stand up, some character. Be different. Dare to be different. And then some conduct. Look, if you would, in chapter number 18. I wish I had time to go into this, but because of time, I don't. Look at verse number 1 of chapter 18. The Bible says, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. You know what happens here, and I don't have time to go into it. God provides David with a lifelong friend. Now, young people, listen to me. If you ever get a lifelong friend, it's a gift from God. It is. There's nothing like a lifelong friend. And you be careful now how you choose your friends. Be careful. Because you are either like or you will become like your friends. And so be careful who you spend your time with, because that's who you're going to be. That's who you're going to be like. You're going to begin to take on that mindset, that system, that belief system. So you be careful how you choose your friends. There's three things that every young person ought to consider. Number one, I'm going to choose my eternal destiny. Number two, I'm going to choose my eternal mate. And number three, I'm going to be careful how I choose my friends. If you'll make those wise decisions there, and this is what happens in this chapter, some wise decisions are made, and I call that conduct. Look at it, if you would, in chapter 18, look if you would, in verse number 14. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Look at verse number 15. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. Chapter 18, verse number 30, the Bible says, in the latter part of that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul. Now, what are we to learn from this? What are we to learn? We're to learn that David was more concerned about what God knew about him than that what people said or thought about him. He wanted to conduct himself in an upright way, in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. He realized that his conduct was directly attached to his character. And so be careful. There's going to be some people, if you'll look at this chapter here, I mean, the man's going to kill him. Okay? Saul was his enemy. He wanted to kill him. Actually, you'll find where no less than 24 times I've counted, you can count them, that Saul was chasing David and he tried to kill him, and David conducted himself wisely. There's going to be times, and John, I'm going to pick you, but I'm not going to pick on you. John is a strapping, strong young man. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The devil is going to always try to pick fights with you, John. You know why? He's going to try to tempt you to exercise your strength, and he's going to try to get you to lose your cool so you can lose your testimony. That's what happens to young men like you. It is. And so you be careful. Keep your head, young man. You got some good things ahead for you, but keep your head. You see what I'm saying? And we could go around here to every young person in this building, and the devil's going to try to do what he can to each one of you now, to get you to lose your head, lose your testimony, lose your character, your conduct. He's gonna just keep hammering away at your weakness. He's gonna keep hammering away. But why? He wants to bring you down. And whatever it is that God has really gifted you with, that's what the devil's coming after. He is. Now, those of you that are 30 years of age and over, help these young people to know that what I'm saying, that they know, I believe the young people believe that as the pastor, I'm telling them right out of the scripture what the Bible teaches. But am I telling these young people the truth tonight? We've lived this, young folks. Now listen, we're like going to Florida, okay? You're still in South Carolina, but we're in Georgia, okay? We didn't been where you are. So you remember that, okay? Did you get what I just said? See, a lot of times people say, well, that's just what they think. No, no, no. It's what we've experienced. We know. We've been there. And we're just trying to help you. And God's word will help you if you'll just let it. So young people, please, please, don't think, well, they're just trying to control my life. They're just trying to rob me from my fun. No, it's not that at all. I want you to enjoy life to its fullest. I want you to experience everything God has for you. You didn't kill that fly this morning? Let me give you one more point and I'll be through. I've got two here, but I'm going to pick one of them because I think it's time to close this service. We're going to go to caves. When David was a young man, the Bible says that after David had went through some tests, these preliminary tests, he was alone, he was on the backside of the mountain there, and God was just working with him and putting songs in his heart, and David was fellowshipping with God, and then he tested him with Goliath, and God said, you know what, David? You done good. Amen? And then God began to do some more work in David's heart, then he tested him with Saul coming after him, and he said, you know what, David? You're doing good. And he said, but now Saul's getting ready to turn up the heat. And so I'm going to put you through some things that will prepare you for some things that lie ahead. Now, God always does this for us, brethren. God always does this. He always prepares us for what lies ahead. Now, let me show you this, and I'll close. In chapter number 19, some things began, and I wished I had time. I'll probably pick up here some next week, but don't you miss this. Here's something that David always kept fresh in his life. Saul began to really go after David, and you'll read this phrase. Look in chapter 19. Look, if you would, at the latter part of verse number 10. The Bible says in chapter 19, verse number 10, and David fled. You see that? Look in chapter 19, verse number 12. The last part of that says, and he went and fled. Look, if you would, in chapter number 19 and verse number 18. And David fled in chapter 20 and verse number 1. And David fled. David was on the run from cave to cave to cave to cave. Ah! Saul was after him, hot on his heels, trying to snuff his life out. He hated him. He was his enemy. Now, you're going to have enemies in life. Whether you serve God or not, you're going to have enemies. But you can rest assured that you're going to have them if you serve Jesus Christ. You're going to have enemies. David had enemies. One of them was a man that he used to play for. He used to try to comfort and soothe. One of them was a man he thought had his back. But not everybody that you think's got your back has got your back. Some people will turn their back on you and others will stab you in the back. But I want to tell you something. Jesus will never turn his back on you. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You can always rely on him. I'm going to tell you somebody else that won't either. You're looking at a man. Listen. As your pastor, I'll never turn my back on you. Look at what the scripture says David did. There's something that good people always do. Watch this. Chapter 19. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. I found out that good people always go to the man of God when they don't know where to go or what to do. I've had to do it myself. Notice what the scripture says. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah. Well, I tell you, Samuel was a man of God. Young people, please listen to me. Never get too far out of reach from your man of God. Never. The man of God stayed active in David's life. Even Nathan had to tell him the hard thing, thou art the man. But David took it. He took it. And God used it in his life to get him back on track. David was a man who had a tender heart for spiritual things. Look at what the scripture says in chapter number 23. The cave experiences. Why? Preacher, why did my mother have to die? Preacher, can you tell me why my brother had to die? Why did my parents have to get a divorce? Preacher, why do bad things happen to good people? Why are they bad things happening to me, preacher? Why? Why? I don't know the answer to all your whys, but I know this. God allows things in our lives to get us to trust him, to teach us. Now, God doesn't do it, but God does allow things in order to build us and to build character and to mold us and to make us into the man or the woman that he has for us. Let me show you what God did for David in these cave experiences that I'm through. Watch this. Follow me now. Chapter 23, the Bible says in verse number 2, therefore David inquired of the Lord. Chapter 23, look if you would, in verse number 4. Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. Chapter 23, verse number 10. Then said David, O Lord God of Israel. Chapter 23 and verse number 11, right in the middle there, he said, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. And then if you'll look in chapter number 30 of 1 Samuel, verse number 8, and David inquired at the Lord. 2 Samuel. Go over to 2 Samuel now. Look at chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2 and verse number 1. It says, and it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel in chapter number 5. The Bible says in verse number 19, and David inquired of the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter number 5 and verse number 23, when David inquired of the Lord. Look at 2 Samuel. This will be the final verse. Chapter number 2 Samuel chapter 21. Verse number 1. The last part of that verse says, and David inquired of the Lord. You think David wanted to know what God wanted him to do? He just kept asking God, God, what do you want me to do? As a matter of fact, if you'll study David's life carefully, you'll find when David got in trouble, you won't read that he inquired of the Lord. Can I tell you, Pastor, I've got myself in some bad situations. The time that I've been the most carnal and the time that God has not been able to use me to the fullest is when I have not inquired of the Lord. And so, young people, if there's one thing I can leave you with tonight, the cave experiences will drive us to where we will inquire of the Lord. It will bring us to places in our life to where we know, God, if you don't do this, it's not going to get done. God, if you don't help me, I'm not going to get out of this. God, I trust you. But God, I need you. Help me, Lord. Help me. I wonder if you have a devotional life. Do you inquire of the Lord? I'm going to ask you to stand with me. I love the young people of Fellowship Baptist Church. I love every one of you. I mean that. I will be here for you as long as I'm the pastor of this church, and even if I'm not, and I'm hanging around somewhere, and you ever need me, or I'll be here for you. I mean that. I care about you. How could you not care about young people? Man, you're lively and vibrant. You got your whole life ahead of you. Don't waste it. Don't waste your life. Invest it. Invest it. Have some character. Have some character. Have some courage. Some courage. Don't be ashamed of the Lord. Be like old Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Have some conduct. Behave yourself wisely. Don't lose your head and lose your cool, and, you know, just conduct yourself in a wise way. People will take notice. God will take notice. And then when the cave experiences come, don't let that drive you away from the Lord. Let it drive you to the Lord and inquire of the Lord. And never, ever be without a man of God. You say, well, preacher, I connect better with Pastor Brandon than I connect with you. That's okay. He's a man of God too. Connect with him. Well, you know, brother, Pastor David's been my youth pastor, and I connect better with him. That's fine. He's a man of God. I'm no more of a man of God than he's a man of God, or he's a man of God. Well, I like Pastor BJ. I kind of connect with him. Well, he's just as much a man of God as I'm a man of God. Just keep a man of God in your life. See, whether it was Samuel or whether it was Nathan, God used his man in the life of David. Always keep a good man of God in your life. Now, don't let that stop you from inquiring. Though David had God's man that he could go to for counsel and for wisdom, he constantly himself inquired of the Lord. I hope you learned some things tonight from this young man. Good young man, David. Good young man. God used him mightily, and God will use you mightily. Let's bow our heads together.